This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I've decided to declare today the last Sunday of summer. You're welcome. Let's hope it works out that way. So I'm really excited today about the readings that we have, because essentially the readings that we hear today from Holy Scripture are about us. They are about you and I. They're about those who are sitting in the pews next to you. They're about those who aren't with us today, but that we see often. It's about the church. This is one of the first times that Jesus actually says the word church in Holy Scripture. So it's not a made-up word that someone designed or created later on to try to describe a gathering of people who are following the way of Jesus. It is ordained by Jesus himself to be the place where others would encounter the living Christ. And then in Paul's letter to the Romans, we hear today a lot about what that church might look like. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, up until this point, there was still this idea, particularly among the Jewish people, that a sacrifice was offered to God to say, thank you, God. They would bring the sacrifices to the synagogues and the temples, the firstborn of their flock. And then Paul is saying, but now there is a new sacrifice. And that is the body of us. That is creating that sanctuary that we sing about earlier for God to reside. That our bodies may be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and our spiritual worship. And Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world, this earthly place, but continue to allow the kingdom of heaven to fill your mind and transform your mind, because as we talked about last week, what comes from the heart is where God resides. What comes from the mind, those two have to be together and in unison. So whatever is in our minds is also in our hearts and then comes out of our mouth, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable. And Paul continues, he said, by grace given, none of you should think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment, because each person is not measured by our judgment, but each person is measured by the faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, but we all have the same function, that is to be the body of Jesus Christ. So individually, as we leave here today and go out into the world, individually, we are members, but we are not members alone. We are members together. So whatever you carry out into the world is a reflection of the life of Jesus Christ and what that life has to offer. And friends, it is also a reflection of who we are as a community of Christians. And we have gifts that differ. We have many gifts that differ. And none are more important than the other. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be an embodied self as a living sacrifice. As followers of Jesus, we have a part, a gift, a function in the body of Christ that is no more or no less important and valued than any other part. And humility insists that every part honor every
other part equally.
Now, I would argue that living in community is perhaps the greatest challenge in life. Living in community is the greatest challenge in the Christian life, but also in life. But it's in living in community that we begin to understand and grow what it means to be one body working towards the same goal. I often say it would be easy to be a Christian. It would be easy to follow Jesus if it weren't for other people. Our churches and our communities of faith are made up of people with different gifts, different behaviors, and Lord help us, different opinions, different ideas of the way the world should work. But it's only by God's grace that all of these pieces come together that shape the way we live in community here and the way we carry that learning out into the world. It is only within proximity of other people that you may disagree with that we learned how to have healthy disagreements. It is only within proximity of other people that have a different life or a different story than ours that we begin to open ourselves to the idea that not everybody's story is the same, but that everybody's story is connected. That is what a gathering does, is it puts us in proximity. And when we find ourselves together worshiping in proximity of other Christians, I like to say practicing Christians. If doctors get to practice medicine and lawyers get to practice law, darn it, I get to practice being a Christian. But it's in within this proximity that Jesus knows that this is where we will be transformed, not only in our hearts, but in our minds. We are not meant to take this journey alone, and we don't get to decide who joins us along the journey. You see, God doesn't make cookie cutter people. Even when we share the same genes, I think we can all agree, we could look at our family members and be like, yeah, I don't know what happened there. Meanwhile, they're looking back at me and saying, yeah, we don't know what happened there. But God only made one you. There is only one you. And you, my friend, have talents and gifts that only you can share with other people. And you have a voice in this world and a voice to share the love of Jesus that only you can do. Only you are in certain circles of the world, and it is your responsibility to use that voice and that place and that proximity to tell people about the love of God. Now, I don't know about you, but trying to discover gifts and talents for myself is a lifelong journey, is it not? When I was younger, I played sports. I was fairly athletic, believe it or not. And I found that basketball was a sport that I was pretty good at, believe it or not. And I fostered that talent, and I fostered that gift, and I loved that game. And even today, when I pick up a basketball, it has to be a leather one, none of those rubber things, but I can smell the leather, the wornness. I remember the smell on my hands from hours and hours of shooting and practicing. And then when I went to college, that wasn't my gift anymore. I was still talented at basketball, but not nearly as talented as others. And I remembered that part of what I loved about playing was being part of a team. Part of what I loved about playing when I was in high school were my teammates and the journey that we took together. And then being plopped into another community with much more talented individuals that I'd never met before. Some of that community had fallen away, and I realized that was not going to be my future, no matter how much I dreamed of being in the NBA. And this was before the women's NBA. And then they started the women's NBA, and I was like, darn it. So then there was another exhalation in young adulthood, and maybe you've been there too. What are my gifts and talents? I feel like that exploration went a long time. But then as time progressed, eventually things would start to show up, because God will always reveal to us what it is that God needs to share the kingdom. And somebody once says, you know, you're pretty good at speaking in front of a group of people, which is ironic because I was probably the quietest, shyest person ever. But I still remember that one day I gave an English report in my honors English class in the 9th grade. I rocked that sucker. And you know, I didn't have a lot of friends, but I remember reflecting back and I was like, yeah, that's a gift, that's a talent. Okay, what do I do with that? Long story short, God does not call only the equipped, God equips the called. Wherever God is calling you in your life, God will provide whatever you need to fulfill that calling. And God will have a way to point out to you in ways you never imagined that you would be able to fulfill the calling for God's church, which is to help people meet Jesus and to follow Jesus. My friends, that is our mission as Christians, to help people meet Jesus and to help people follow Jesus, and to show people how. You see, the challenge, I believe, for many churches today is demonstrating to people why this matters, that belonging to a congregation matters, why it's important to them spiritually, and I would be willing to argue that sometimes we're not even sure why we show up on a Sunday morning. So maybe that is our prayer today. Why, God, I'm here, I got up, I got dressed, it's 105 degrees outside, I made it into the church, why am I here? But something has called you to be here today. There's something that gets to you when you make it here. Only 20% of Americans attend church every week. But friends, 39% of millennials, you know that group, they report attending church on a weekly basis. So only 20% attend church overall in America every week. 39% of people in their 20s and 30s attend church every week. That is more than Gen Xers and more than boomers. There is hope. There is a need and a desire out there in the world to ask that question, why am I here? What is the point? Where do I go? How do I follow? Where do I get fulfilled? What is God calling me to be? And they remind me a lot when I was in my 20s, trying to navigate, trying all the things. What are my gifts? What are my talents? What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be? And the world will tell us a million things, but Jesus says, you are supposed to be you. And our journey of life is getting ever and ever and ever closer to who that you is called to be. It's like shedding layers of an onion. The world will tell us and show us in life as we grow up what it is we need to be. And our journey with Jesus is more and more and more. As he says, he gave Simon a whole new name. You are now Peter, and on you I will build the rock, because you now are going to have these responsibilities. We are shedding those layers, Peter, of all the stuff, and we're starting new. And right there is where God wants to meet you. There's a great book when we're thinking about church and living in community. And I thought, what's a good metaphor for what this work is like? And now I believe this metaphor speaks to us here as a group here. Everyone here has something to offer. Everyone here has a gift to bring. Everyone here has a story to share with your family and your friends and your neighbors. And when we come together, all of those opinions, and all of those ideas, what is it that God is calling us to do? as a church. And there's a great book called The Boys in the Boat, written by Daniel Brown. I think it came out like 2013. And there's a movie, if you're more of a movie person, that came out in just earlier this year. And it's a true story based on the struggles and sacrifices that were made by the University of Washington rowing team. You all know what a rowing team is? They're like lined up in the boat, very skinny little boats. They all have oars. And it's a story about this rowing team from the University of Washington that trained and eventually competed at the 1936 Summer Olympics. But the main lessons that we can learn, and I'm borrowing this from someone who did sort of a synopsis of the movie and of the book, but he says there are four lessons that rowing can teach us in team building. So if we were to think of us as a body of Christ, I think it's fair enough to say that, in other words, we're a team. That we are a team together to carry out the good news of Jesus Christ. That a life in Jesus is worth people's time and effort. He says there are four lessons that rowing can teach us. Rowing requires that teams work seamlessly together. As Dan Brown writes in his Boys in the Boat, all were merged into one smooth working machine. They were, in fact, a poem of motion, a symphony of swinging blades. For a rowing team to be successful and make winning strides, they have to work together. For the body of Christ to be successful and help people meet Jesus, we have to work together. In the rowing game, and I would argue, in the church and Jesus Christ, conflict doesn't get us anywhere. Another lesson for rowing teaches us the common goal and pursuit of the team has to be unified. And wherever you are in your life, when you're not here on Sunday morning, wherever you are, the common goal of all Christians is to help people meet Jesus and follow Jesus. And in that process, we too will grow into Christ. The common goal must be unified. In many organizations, he writes, individuals are set on different goals and outcomes, but in rowing, there is no room for distractions. Rowing shows us that the most effective teams share the same end goal, which is to get to that line as fast as we can. He also argues another lesson, that rowers always pull more than their own weight. Rowers always pull more than their own weight. There are a lot of opportunities for us to build the kingdom of God, both here and in our neighborhoods and in our communities, and we are all called to pull more than our own weight. In rowing, teams know that they will be carrying more than just their own weight because they feel the embrace of the entire weight of the entire team. We carry the weight of the kingdom of God in our communities. And it should be overwhelming at times. But then we look to our neighbors and we look to our friends and those who are gathered here. We know we're not fighting or bringing this about on our own. Our transformation isn't only about us as individuals. Others will be there to pick us up when we fall. Others will be there to direct us on the right path when we slide away. We are members of a team of Christians worldwide, all pursuing the same goal. And then lastly, he says, rowers must remain flexible. And friends, if there was ever a time in the world and place than 21st century America to try to be flexible about the best way to introduce people to Jesus Christ, it is now. There are so many opportunities. What used to work will not work in the future. The future is unknown in so many ways, but the call of God, just as a team of rowers, is to be flexible, that we must be ready to yield. We have to be able to yield to serve a greater goal. We must be both flexible and reliable, and we must be prepared for anything. Now, I would say this message that I want to share with you all is our message here today at St. John's, but I think you could take those four things anywhere into your life. To be successful, you have to work seamlessly together. To be successful, you have to have a common goal. To be successful, you always have to pull more than your own weight. And to be successful in the kingdom of God, we have to remain flexible. And within all of that is the Holy Spirit to guide us, to show us, to open us up. So I ask today, what are your talents and gifts that Jesus is calling you, that God is calling you to share in the movement toward the kingdom of heaven here on earth? Where is God speaking to those places in your life and in your heart that says, what if? On this rock, he tells Peter, I will build my church. And here we are in 2023, still pursuing the dream of God. Amen.